Today we want to look at what are the provisions for those who are under his wing. What does he provide for us? Things that we often don't make use of. Sometimes those fringe benefits that we have, we don't really use much. And we, you know what? We're the ones that are the losers if we don't make use of what he's provided for us. You see, he did not just save our soul and secure it for heaven, but he also cares for us now, in whatever state we are in. He's given us the tools, he's given us the provisions to help us along the way, and if we don't use them, it's our fault, not his. The first thing we would like to look at is a continuous access to God. Now, being in medical profession, my husband, my two boys, four physicians in the family, we cannot say that we are accessible 24 hours a day for our patients or those who need us. The pagers go off, and we do go to sleep, and we don't take calls all the time. But I have someone who is accessible to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not only accessible, but waiting to hear from him. I have one sweet little granddaughter who's going to be 2 in November. And her mom taught her to, because we live in the Bahamas and I don't see her as often, her mom taught her to talk to me on the phone and to tell me, "I love you," on the phone. What a wonderful thing. I don't mind hearing it about 500 times a day. How about the Lord wanting to hear from you? "I love you." He's given you this connection. It's called a prayer connection. It is the source of strength. Again, you feel lonely sometimes. You feel defeated. You have difficulties in your life. Some things maybe that you cannot share with anybody. You know what? You can share it with him. It's not only a source of strength and peace, but it is the link that keeps me going. God, the Creator, the Savior of the world, who knows everything, who's present everywhere, who's able to do things, what we call omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, is available to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes? That's what the Word of God teaches. People will not be available to you 24 hours a day. There were times in my life when I had nobody but the Lord to go to. Even though I'm surrounded by a loving assembly and a loving family, yet there were times I was just alone. Difficulties and times when I couldn't reach anyone, but I know I can reach the Lord. You know, at work they used to think I was smart. I fooled them, you know. Whenever I had particularly a quick section on a breast biopsy or something like that, when I had to go to the OR and tell the surgeon that this was cancer and he has to go and remove whatever organ it was, I always said a prayer. And I said, "Lord, please guide me to make the right decision and right diagnosis." Sometimes in those frozen tissues, it's very difficult to make the diagnosis. They used to think I'm smart because I never made mistakes, but they never knew that I had access to the one who created the cells. And that's true. I've really experienced that. The power of prayer. I'd like to take you to one of my heroines. One of the ladies who chose to take her case to God in prayer. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. A wonderful lady. And we read about her that she prayed. For the sake of time, we'll just read a few verses here and there about Hannah. First Samuel chapter 1. We look at verse 6. "And her adversary also provoked her relentlessly to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 7, the last phrase says, she provoked her. She wept. She did not eat. Excuse me. Verse 9, what did Hannah do in the face of this difficulty? Hannah rose up. And what did she do in verse 10? She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept bitterly. And you know, it's so nice to see that in verse 15, even after being criticized by no one else but the priest, she said, no, I'm not a drunkard, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And then in verse 18, to sum up, she says, she went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Was she pregnant at that time? No. Did she get the answer of her prayer at that time? No. Not yet. What do we learn from Hannah and the power of prayer? Well, she was a wonderful woman, a woman of unblemished character, but, you know, she had a difficulty. We don't have that difficulty here in our country, but I had the opportunity of seeing polygamy in other countries of the world and see how some wives suffer because of their husbands being married to other wives. And more so because she was also without a child. And that was something that was really, really important for those ladies at that time. Did she leave the house of the Lord? No, she did not forsake the house of the Lord, but she prayed. Sometimes when we go through difficulties, the first thing we do is we miss prayer meeting, don't we? How much is the prayer meeting important to you, dear sister? How many prayer meetings did you miss? Guilty as charged. I know I've missed a few. A number. Some of them for good reason. But every time I've missed a prayer meeting, I've missed out on a blessing. She did not forsake the house of the Lord and prayed. When you're going through difficulties, you sit down, we like to sort of, you know, dramatize things. And that's the women thing, eh? And cry about it and make a big deal about it and dramatize it and talk to people about it and make it look really even worse than it is because it makes us feel good, you know? We like to watch those things that make us cry on the television. Every time I put on a program, my boys used to laugh at me and say, there goes Niagara Falls again. You know? Because I cry. I see something that is, that's our psychological makeup, as they call it in psychiatry. We tend to sort of be, always look at the dark side of things and forget that there is a channel open to us that can give us the peace and the power and the ability to go through whatever it is we're going through. Because he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, in difficulties and trials, there is somebody who's accessible to you. And it's not just anybody. It is the Lord, the Almighty God, who loves you and wants to hear from you. Her supplication, she did not only forsake the house of the Lord, and she prayed. Her prayer, we are told here, was peculiar. It was internal. She was criticized. You're probably going to be criticized, even if you pray. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. I had a boss one day who used to laugh at me every time we sat down at the meal, and I'd close my eyes and give a silent prayer. And say, well, now you have to pray for everything. And you know, it sort of struck me that I was so pleased he wrote it. It's good, even if you're criticized. She was criticized by no one else but the priest, but he really blessed her at the end. But you know what her prayer was peculiar in? She believed. She prayed believing. When you pray, do you believe when you pray about something? Or you just, oh well, you know, the easy way out is, well, we pray about it. You believe the Lord can do things? That prayer changes things? I do. If the circumstance is not changed, my attitude is the one that changes. And the ability to go through whatever it is I'm going through is changed. And you know, she got her reply later on. But before she even got her reply, her countenance was no more sad. She got this reassurance inside. Don't you get that when you go to the Lord in prayer? And you ask Him about something that is very precious to you. And you know it's difficult, and you know it's maybe not going to turn out the way you want it to, but He gives you the peace about it. I recall many incidents in my life where I don't know, now when I think about them, I say, how did I go through this? How did I go through this week in September 11th in Chicago, not knowing what was going to happen to me and everything? But I knew the Lord carried me through. I don't know how. Now I'm anxious about it. But then I wasn't. You see, that's our Lord. He's there when we really need it. Not when we try to sort of think about events again. Some of the times that I remember in my own life, when I had to, well, I didn't know if I was going to wake up the next morning because I was so sick. And I said, well, that's it. I said to the surgeon, don't worry. He was sitting next to me, didn't know what was wrong with me. And I said, don't worry, I know where I'm going if I die. How did I say that? Now when I say it, I start to get goosebumps. But then it was because I prayed. I experienced the power of prayer. See, the Lord would give you the strength at the time, not before and not after. But at the time, He gave me that peace. The scripture says we pray regularly. Now, I don't know about you, but I eat at least 3 times a day, if not maybe in between, but maybe 6 or 7 times a day. I drink 7-6 glasses of water a day, as we supposed to. How many times do we pray? You know, in spite of all the difficulties this woman went through, she bursts out in a song in chapter 2, which is a wonderful study if you compare it to Mary, the mother of our Lord's song. And what does she talk about? She talks about God's holiness, God's omniscience, His sovereignty, His ability to do all things, His faithfulness, His justice, His judgment to come. That was a woman of knowledge. So she not only prayed believing, but she prayed with knowledge. And what was her sacrifice? She gave back her son to the Lord. The thing she wanted most, she gave it back to the Lord. Her tongue. A lot is said about the tongue. We're going to talk about that later on in the day. But she guarded her tongue, this woman, in spite of provocation of Penina, and poured her heart to God in prayer. What an example. What a wonderful example for you and me to learn out of. You know, the mouth in James 3, verse 9 and 10, the book that tells us a lot about the tongue, it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. She never said the wrong word. In spite of, she had cause, she had reason. She was frustrated, and this other woman was provoking her. But her silent prayer, what did her silent prayer do? It changed things. Prayer is a very important provision. It's an important connection. Now, I have this new machine that put in my office, which is hooked onto my computer, does all sorts of things, and I'm not very computer literate, so I'm being sort of taught by one of my assistants about it. And then one day I said, Malik, it's not working! So she came to me and said, that's in the case, it's not plugged. Thank you very much. I think this is the way we are sometimes. We're not plugged into the Lord. There is a power that's available to us, and we just don't put the plug in. And our plug in is prayer. You want power to do something? It's available to you. Just plug in. And you know what? It's not like the bathrooms that work and not work sometimes. It's always functional, and the power is always there. And it never dries out. And He's never tired of hearing from you. We always go to the Lord when we want something, don't we? When was the last time you went to the Lord and said, I just love you, Lord. I just came this morning, not to ask for anything, but to thank you for anything you've given and to tell you I love you. Think about the courting days when your husband was courting you, and oh, isn't that nice when he says to you, I love you. I've been married for 38 years and every night I get that, I love you. And you know what? I miss it when I'm not home because I want to hear it. Even though I've been hearing it for 38 years. The Lord wants to hear from us sometimes. And He's opened that channel. And that's one of the provisions of those who are under His wings. We can pray everywhere, 1 Timothy 2:8 tells us. We can pray always, Luke 18:1. We can pray for everything, Philippians 4 and 6. And do we get answers? Yes, we do. There are all things that are answered. They may not be what you want it to be, but it's always answered. Yes, no, wait. There's always an answer. My challenge for you, dear sister, to you and to me today, is what is your prayer life like? Are you in constant communication with your Lord? You know, prayer, as we said, is a very powerful tool, and it's available for us all the time. And through it, we can have a true, victorious Christian life. Okay, we have continuous access to God in prayer. The second thing is this. Clear instructions. The inspired Word of God. Now, I got this new fancy little machine thing that is called one of those modern Palm Pilot things, and I still haven't sorted out some of the workings of it. You know what? I never had the instructions. I'm too busy to read the instructions. I don't have the time to read the instructions. I did something wrong the other day, and I just, because I didn't read the instructions. And that's what happens to us in our Christian life. Now, I can challenge everyone in this room. You may know all this by heart, which I don't think anybody does. But even if you do, knowing it up here is 12 inches away, as far as I remember my anatomical studies, from here. Have knowledge, reading the Bible is wonderful, but that's not enough. You must apply them. If I know the instructions of my Palm Pilot, it's great, but I've got to apply it. Otherwise, it's useless. I have this fancy cell phone that does all sorts of things, and I still haven't figured out some of the things to do with it. Because I haven't read the instructions. I was leaving them in the car coming down because I got I don't know, the call waiting and all that stuff. I haven't figured it out yet because I didn't apply it. And some of the stuff I know, I haven't really put in all the numbers and all the things that I need to because I didn't apply the knowledge I have. How much more the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. Why is the Bible so important? What can I apply it to? Well, we have regenerating cream. 1 Peter 1 and 23 tells me the Bible is a regenerating agent. The stuff we had this morning, which looked very good, and I have to say it because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to stand up and speak, but it looked so good. We were fed this morning. 1 Peter 2 and 2 tells me that the Bible feeds. This is what we can feed on. I had a shower this morning. I was cleansed. I was sanctified, set apart, supposedly. To some extent, John 17 and 17 tells me that the Bible does that to me, in a spiritual sense, of course. So it regenerates me, it feeds me, it sanctifies me, it builds me up. There's nothing I don't think, even a piece of chocolate, doesn't build me up for a long time. Acts 20:32 tells me that my Bible built me up. It enlightens me, it teaches me something. Psalm 119, verse 105. You know, one of the things about this book is that it is stable. In my 30 years of medical practice, the textbooks of everything have changed. We don't teach or do medicine the way we did when I was in medical school. Things have evolved and changed, and there's a new edition of this and this and this all the time. This book is stable. Don't tell me it's cultural. Don't tell me this was because it was at that time. No. This is the inspired word of God, and it is true and right for me today. It is stable. It gives insight, and it gives me maturity like nothing else in my Christian life. Psalm 119. Read through Psalm 119 today. It's a little lengthy psalm, but it tells you all about the word of God. Isn't it wonderful? We have this clear instruction. The clear instruction, the inspired word of God. What a wonderful book. You know, even being a third generation assembly, knowing the scriptures, quoting them in more than one language, still, we need to constantly apply the sanctifying power of the word of God to our lives. There was a woman in the Old Testament whom I like to refer to as my heroine, because she unveiled the future of the whole nation. You know why? Because she turned them back to the book. She said, God has said. If we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 54 and verse 20 to 28, we read about a woman called Huldah. Many people don't even know about Huldah. But I like to take her as my example. Why? You say she's quoted in 2 Chronicles 34, 20 to 28. And you go to 2 Kings 22, you find her again mentioned between the verses of 14 to 20. Why? What is so special about this woman? She recognized the genuineness of God's word, of the instructions of the God's word. When the nation was failing, she revealed God's mind to his people. She revived the whole nation, we're told. Why? Because she turned them back to the book. There is nothing more you can do if you're discipling a course, or if you're discipling somebody, or if you're teaching anybody. I love books. I swallow books. My staff say that we don't know how she reads that much. I read in French and English and Arabic and you name it, and I got to practice at least in Canada in both official languages, which is English and French, and I'm writing and reading in both official languages all the time. But there is nothing as important as the Word of God. Read books as much as you want, but don't stop reading the Word of God, because it has a special power in it. My roommate was sharing with me how one of the verses and one of the phrases stood out, and I was not surprised that when she stood up to pray this morning, she mentioned that same phrase. You see, it does affect you. It becomes special to you. You know, I mean, you go to John chapter 4, and you say, he needs go through Samaria. Now, I know the geography of the land. He doesn't have to go through Samaria to get to where he wanted to, but the Lord took that pathway to go and see the Samaritan woman. Sinner. But you see, when I first saw that, it was very precious to me that the Lord of glory would go through all the way around just to meet one sinner, one awful outcast woman, to draw her to him. And when he revealed himself to her as the Christ, I am he. Isn't that wonderful? Now, these are things you cannot read them, only you may read them in books, but finding them for yourself is something really precious. Do not neglect the word of God. You know, if you recover those truths of scripture and apply them to life and morals, your life will change, and you'll change everybody around you. I tell my Sunday school class that I like to take simple examples with them, and I say, about the word of God, it's A, B, C, and D. A is accept the word of God as the inspired instructions. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Don't some of us like to take parts of scripture, and others, well, that's not really for me. That's cultural. That's what you brethren teach. That's what, you know, no. There's only one church. There's no plural churches. There's only one body. Christ is the head of the body. You are either in that body, you're either under his wings, and when we get to heaven, he's not going to say, if you're brethren, you get into this place, and if you're whatever, you're going to go into this place. He's going to ask one question. Have you accepted the gift of his son? And if you have, that's your ticket to heaven. But then there will be some form of judgment on how much the scripture has been revealed to you and how much obedience to the scripture you have been. Accept it as the inspired word of God in totality. Salvation is by faith. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. B stands for be faithful in reading it and meditating on it. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all day. Now, if I kept you here longer than the time allotted, I will hear some complaints, right? I won't. But how much time do you spend in meditating on the Word of God? You won't get something out of it. It's not like 10 minutes, I'm going to just read it and bye-bye, I'm off to work and I'm busy, you know, I've got kids, I've got, you know, I've had those two that pulled on my curve all the time. Yes. But you know, do not neglect the meditation and faithfulness in reading it. C stands for consider its instructions carefully. You know, it's very important that we stop and understand what the Word of God wants to teach us. And unless we have an open heart, we are not going to be tuned in as we were told this morning. Accept it, be faithful in reading it, consider its instructions carefully, and D says, do what it says. Doers, not hearers only, James tells us in chapter 1 verse 22. And our Lord said in John chapter 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now you say you love the Lord. You're just saying, I love you, Lord, right? And he said, if you really love me, don't just say that by words, but keep my words. Now how am I going to keep the words if I don't know it? That's a challenge, isn't it? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22 tells us, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What a challenge. Sometimes we want to do good things. We want to do all sorts of things. We get so involved in ladies' work and in children's work and in the assembly work and so on, and we're doing. And we neglect to meditate on his word and hear his voice. Doing is wonderful, but let it be secondary to the knowledge. Not put it in front. And not be so busy that you cannot stop and have some time. I mean, the days when I don't hear from my children and my granddaughter to tell me I love you on the phone, I miss it. You know, I really do. How much more is the Lord who wants to talk to us? And he calls when we're asleep, figuratively of course, only sleep truly too, but I mean, you know, we're asleep spiritually. I want to ask you today, are you asleep spiritually? I see a few eyes closing here and there. You're probably tired. But what about your spiritual life? Are you asleep? Are you committed? The challenge is this. Are you committed to God's commands and his godly instructions? You know, through the study of his word, we're able to understand his will. You say, I want to know the Lord's will. Then a young person comes to me and says, well, I want to know what is the Lord's will in my life. I have asked myself that. In fact, I'm asking that myself now as I stand in crossroads of my life, wondering whether I should retire and do something else with my life, or whether I should do this or whether I should do that. And I haven't got my answer yet, that I am depending on the Lord, and I'm waiting to hear his voice through his word and through my plug in connection with him. His will is explained in the pages of this holy word. You know, if we really want to abide under his wings and in his holy will, we need to know those instructions. We need to apply those instructions. We need to be committed to the word of God. Commitment to the word of God and to be obedient to it is not easy, but it's the only way to have assurance of the peace, the strength, and the victory we need in this day and age with difficulty. So, we talked about the constant communication or the continuous access to God in prayer, the clear instructions in the solid word of God, but that's not all that he gives us if we're under his wings. He has not left us comfortless. There is a constant presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, with us. You see, we cannot live the Christian life in the way the Lord intended it for us to live if we do it our way. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer at the time of salvation. You don't need a thundering from heaven or a magisterium ceremony for you to get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does indwell. He that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. He's constantly there. The Lord told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always." And in John 14, 26, he made sure to explain to them that maybe physically he won't be there anymore, but he said, the Comforter, and in case you don't understand, who is the Holy Spirit, will be sent by the Father when he leaves them. You see, he made sure to provide this constant presence with his disciples, with those that are under his wings. God, the Holy Spirit, is in the believer's heart. Why? To establish communion with God. Because physically, only it is just the tongue, not the soul, not the spirit that really has to have communion with God. Galatians 4 and 6 says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That's the connection to God. That's the one that makes me really leap forward to God, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, in me. Is it because I'm good? No, I'm worth nothing. But it is because God, the Holy Spirit, indwells me, because I have made that decision to be under his wings. Have you? Are you making use of the access to God in prayer through the Holy Spirit? You see, if it's left to you, you fall asleep. But it's the Holy Spirit that says, wake up, time to pray. Wake up, this is right. Wake up, this is wrong. Wake up, no, don't go this pathway. Go that pathway, he's always there. Not only that he's in the believer's heart to establish communion with God, he secures the believer for God as a seal. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, "In whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That's the mark that you have. That's the seal that you have. That was given to you to secure you for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Sometimes you look at a lady and you say, this woman radiates a godly behavior. The Spirit is shining through her. You know? And sometimes you say, I wonder if this woman is even a Christian. What's the difference? They may be both saved. We have the example of Lot and Abraham. We have lots of examples and contrasts in the scriptures. If in the New Testament it didn't talk about Lot that he was a believer, we wouldn't have ever thought he was, would we? But you see, one was Holy Spirit guided, and the other one wasn't. The difference is not having the Holy Spirit, it's giving him the driver's seat, not giving him the back seat. Not giving him certain rooms of your heart, and other will say, do not enter. Isn't that the way we do it? You see, the one who's under his wings, our body becomes a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you have of God, and ye are not your own. How many times have we given the freedom of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That's the time when we conquer. And if we don't, that's the time when we lose. Because we don't give him the driver's seat. He's in us if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Because that's the promise of the Word of God. And if it's in here, I believe it. And I believe everything that's here. Word for word. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. He wants to not just comfort you. He's always there. A component of the triune God is inside you. Think about that. When those people in the world tell you self-worth and self-esteem and all this garbage stuff, they don't even listen to this. We all worth something because God dwells in you. Part of God is in you if you're a child of God. It's the Holy Spirit that does all the work in a believer's life. It's the Holy Spirit that strengthens for service. Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So in my own power, I can do nothing, as they say. He intercedes in prayer, Romans 8:11, giving life to our mortal bodies. Victory in our lives is through the power of the Holy Spirit. If only we would give Him His due place, the control. He needs the control buttons. We sometimes like to play with the buttons ourselves. We sometimes want to do things ourselves. We think we can do it. But you see, unless we come to a total reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, go left, we go left. Not, well, no, 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 but it's green on this side. You know, I just want to go there. You know, Lot says, well, I'm just going to stay on the outside because the things there look nicer, Abraham. You're old-fashioned. You go this side. Well, I've been labeled old-fashioned a long time ago. And I like it. If it's according to the Word of God, I'm more happier. Thank you. It strengthens for service. It intercedes in prayer. It leads in obedience. Romans 8:13 leads the sons of God. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to. You want to obey the Word of God and you find it difficult. Did you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to do it? You got it. Need it. Produces fruit in your life. Are you fruitless? Are you a barren tree as a Christian in your Christian life? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Have you got them all? Challenge it. But you see, if we have the Spirit control, we can have them all. It's not impossible. What's impossible with us is possible with the Lord. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit gave the disciples the power to speak in various languages. Tongues. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, gave power to the disciples to speak in tongues, languages. He gives utterance and testimony. You want to speak to somebody you don't know how. I sat next to a girl on my way once in a flight, and she was French, and I could speak French very well, but I don't know my Bible in French. So I was struggling with the verses. I wanted to explain to her about the Lord, and I was on my way to another lady's conference in a flight, and she was very, very distraught, young lady, and we were talking, and I talk to everybody, and I see anyway, so I started talking to her, we had lots of fun talking, and I found it very difficult to quote verses or to explain scripture, because I don't know the actual words in scripture, but somehow it came to me. I don't know how. Don't ask me now, because I don't know. But at that time, the Lord gave me that ability to do it, to explain it. Maybe not the right word, but explain what I meant, salvation, and how the Lord loved her, and how the Lord gave His Son to die on the cross for her sake. And that, yes, she may be distraught because of all the problems she told me about, but that there was somebody who loved her and was waiting for her to come to Him. And He will give her the power to be able to live happy live a happy life in spite of her miserable situation, which is a very sad story. I don't know how I did that. Now I was trying to struggle to find some of those words, and I couldn't. But I know that the power of the Holy Spirit, because I said, Lord, please help me. This woman really needs the Lord. And I can't speak to her in English. I've got to speak to her in her language. And I know how to speak to her in her language, but I don't know the words of Scripture. And I want to make sure that I'm capturing the exact words of Scripture. And I got it. Now, I'm talking about something that really happened to me. So that's why I'm so excited about it. I believe it, because it does happen. I'm not just saying something that I read in a book. I know it happened with me. And this lady, she and I are still corresponding. She lives in Montreal, and we still correspond. And she came to live me to a couple of gospel meetings, and her English is getting a little bit better, so I'm thankful for that, because my French is not getting anywhere, at least in Scripture. But I don't need my Scripture in French. So isn't that wonderful? My challenge in this aspect is, are you giving the Holy Spirit total control of your life? Am I giving the Holy Spirit total control of my life? We as humans by nature want to be in control, especially us women. I hate to say that, but it's true. It's a genetic predisposition. That's a medical term, so that's okay. But my challenge to you and my own soul today is, are you obeying His leading in your life? Or are you grieving the Holy Spirit? You see, we don't lose the Holy Spirit, but we grieve Him sometimes. God's children who are under His wings, when they do something that is disobedient to the Word of God and not in His will, they grieve the Holy Spirit. But if we yield to His power, we get the power to conquer, and we can enjoy peace, joy in our Christian walk. What a wonderful Savior we have. Not only that He saved us, not only that He secured us for eternity, not only that He gave us strength for daily life, but He has given us continuous access to God. He has given us clear instructions, if only we would learn and to obey them. And He is also constantly present in the form of God, the Holy Spirit, in each of His children today. I trust the Lord has challenged your heart as He had mine when I was preparing this time. Let's look to Him in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the access to the throne of grace. Lord, we can't understand how mortals like us can have access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this open way, in a simple way, and to address Thee as Abba Father. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us possible, the one who loved us so, that He came from heaven's glory to die for each one, for even me. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so, that You gave Your life, that You went through the cross for each one of us to save our souls. We pray, Lord, for every lady here. You know the needs. You know the heart. You know the areas that we're struggling with. You know the weaknesses. But Lord, we come in prayer asking for help for each one. We pray, Lord, that if there be even one that has not made that step to become under His wings, that you may do so even now. And we pray, Lord, for this believer who's struggling with difficulties in the prayer life, in the reading and in the obedience of God's Word, that the heart would be opened through the power of the Holy Spirit. We claim Your presence with us, Lord, this day, that everything that is said and done would be to bring honor and glory to Thy name. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity where we could get away from world's difficulties and trials, and pause to hear Thy voice. O Lord, may it be that we would be responding. May our hearts be open, may our ears be open, and our eyes be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we may not grieve Him, but yield in control to Him. We thank You
And we pray believing in the precious and fearless name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.